Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live with Second Amendment Tuesdays and attorney Penny Dean. Interstate transport of firearms. We'll talk about it.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
And that's Steve Voss with Come and Take It. And Penny Dean, you know, it looks like we're going to be able to... they're not going to be able to take it from you in the State House. Could be as early as tomorrow.
Isn't that great? And that's if they can find them, because they're going to be concealed. We get to keep our friends in our pockets so nobody can see them.
Talking about what's going to be happening this afternoon with the first legislative hearing that'll get underway, and this will be with the Joint Legislative Facilities Committee, which among the many things that they're considering for proper decorum and conduct in the State House, one of them would happen to deal with carrying firearms.
Isn't that great? They're finally going to go back and literally say, you know, that people have the right to self-defense, particularly in the people's house. When the ban was enacted, I think there was a lot of people like me that were particularly offended, going, this is the people's house. This is where the people go to seek redress. This is where the people go, you know, to basically petition their legislators, and they can't carry their firearms with them. You know, that was just quite frankly offensive.
Well, you know, I look at it this way. If you can exercise your First Amendment rights, you should be able to exercise your Second Amendment rights.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, you know, as we know, all the other rights are really worthless without the Second Amendment right.
Exactly. Well, you know, here's my thought, because I've given a lot of thought to this issue, because there are people who say it's just absolutely insane to be carrying guns in the State House. You're asking for a dangerous atmosphere. And I kept thinking about that. And I understand what the person was trying to tell me. But I said, you know what? I really am uncomfortable in gun-free zones. They usually don't work out too well for the victims of crime.
Yeah, no, they don't. No, and really, here's the thing that I tell people all the time, is that anybody who carries a firearm every day, a lawful person, you know, we're talking about what I call the good people, they literally are not going to pull their firearm out, you know, at the biggest drop of an argument. Anybody who's been to any political event or rally will see people, you know, I've been nose-to-nose with people screaming about, you know, whatever I think is right at the moment, right? And all of us are armed to the teeth, and I say nobody pulls out their firearm because it's not appropriate at that point. You pull out your firearm to defend yourself or otherwise.
Right, right, exactly. So, you know, anyway, there, we hope that this issue will be addressed appropriately today. What's basically happening with this public hearing begins at 3 p.m., room 100 inside the State House, and that they will be proposing that they rescind the ban on the firearms, but you are not allowed to display the firearm, which to me means no open carrying.
That's exactly the way I read it. And so I tell everyone who's listening to please call their representatives and tell them that we want to be able to defend ourselves in the State House. Tell them that, you know, that we really want, you know, when no guns in the State House was passed, it was the wrong move. And we have a speaker now who's trying to do the right move, which is to, you know, allow firearms again in the State House.
All right, so we will have that beginning at 3 p.m. today. I'll be there with my microphone, and we'll be bringing some of the testimony and results tomorrow morning here on Bulldog Live.
Yay. I'm so glad to hear that.
All right. Now, Penny, one of the other issues, and I've been wanting to talk about this one for a very long time, and that is when somebody is traveling to visit friends, or they're starting to make their vacation plans, and they do want to take their little black or pink friend with them.
Yeah, because that's exactly right. Well, see, black and pink friends sometimes go together. If you have one friend, they're lonely if you don't carry two with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we had this conversation last week. Why you should have two weapons on you?
That's right, because mechanical objects break. I tell people I got a spare tire in my truck, right?
Right.
Yeah, because tires get flat sometimes.
All right, but what people don't understand, and we're talking about interstate transport of firearms. Now, this could mean, carrying a firearms or transporting firearms, which are actually, to me, two different things.
Absolutely. They are two different things. And here's what I tell people is there's two different types of things that we have to be looking at. Is number one, carrying them lawfully concealed, and number two, transporting them. And there's a couple, three I always call traps for the unwary. Number one, if you go to, for example, the state of New Hampshire's website, and New Hampshire has a list of states that we have reciprocity with for concealed carry licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And what's important to note is New Hampshire puts it quite plainly on their website. Unfortunately, some other states don't put it quite so plainly. And here is what they put on their website. Is these states, and I'm paraphrasing, these states that we have reciprocity with are only for individuals from that state carrying on a resident license.
Yes.
And this is where people get in really, really, really big trouble, is that they look at a state's website and they go, great, New Hampshire has reciprocity with, this state.
We'll say Georgia, for example, because I know
Georgia.
They do. Yeah,
that's exactly right. They say Georgia. And they say, okay, that's great. We can go to Georgia and carry our firearm. What people don't know is that, let's say, if you are not a resident of Georgia, okay, that you cannot carry here on that reciprocity. And I'm going to quote what the state of New Hampshire says on the website. Please note, the state of New Hampshire will only recognize resident concealed handgun licenses from these states. Concealed handgun licenses issued by the state of New Hampshire to out-of-state residents are only, big letters, only valid within the state of New Hampshire or within a state other than the licensee's home state that reciprocally recognizes New Hampshire non-resident concealed carry licenses. And I have to give the state of New Hampshire a lot of kudos for putting that on their website, because here's what happens. Some states do not put that on their website. So you go to a state and you say, oh, great, Utah license is recognized here.
I was thinking of them, too. Precisely,
yeah,
yes.
Absolutely, and Utah is a big one. And I caution our listeners. There are a lot of people who say, look, if you get a Utah non-resident license, it's good in 28 other states or whatever. And
yep.
I would respectfully say to people that I disagree with that. I don't think that information is correct. And I think it's very important to know, and it goes back to what I've always said of knowing before you go. Because here's what's happened. Let's say you're on a non-resident license and you go to this state and you get pulled over or something happens and you go, God, I'm perfectly legal, everything's good, until you find out, because you didn't read what I call the fine print, that the license that you thought you were good and carrying on is only good for residents of that particular state. So you're now, in addition to the fact you've been in an altercation, you are carrying without a license,
mm-hmm.
which puts you in really bad trouble land. It puts you in all sorts of criminal land, and even if it turns out that you were acting correctly, I tell people, remember Bernard Goetz?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. In New York City, the subway guy, yep.
Yep, and the press unfortunately called him the subway vigilante. He was the gentleman who was actually protecting himself from criminal attack.
I was trying to stay away from that term, yes.
Yes, and I was offended by that term, but I hate to say it, but the press gave him a really bad term. But here was the issue. He escaped, if you will, all of the criminal charges other than carrying without a license. And I think the jury didn't even want to find him guilty of that, but no one had explained to them about jury nullification.
Right.
no one had an opportunity to say to that jury that we have jury nullification available to you. And so I tell people that traveling from state to state to state, either just transporting your firearms with you or carrying your firearms with you, becomes really a challenge, and you have to plan what I call up to the minute. And here's a couple of examples. Let's say you go to some states. In some states, you can't carry a firearm in a place that serves alcohol. And mm-hmm. so I tell people, let's say you're a New Hampshire resident carrying on a New Hampshire license and you go to another state. You have to make sure about what those states' laws are, because even though you have reciprocity, you still have to comply with the licensing laws of the particular state you're in. It's kind of like a driver's license. You know, just because your state highway allows 75 miles an hour and you go into a state that, you know, has 65 mile an hour speed limits, even though you've got a driver's license from your home state where it's 75, you have to follow the 65 mile an hour speed limits.
Yep.
And it's the same thing with licenses to carry. You really have to follow the laws of your host state.
Right, because you're not allowed into, say, a store that sells alcohol. You're not allowed into a certain government building. You can't even stand along a parade route in some states. You know, you stop, oh, look at that pretty parade, and you might be sitting there in violation of the state law.
That's exactly right.
I think North Carolina has one of those provisions.
And I'm the first to watch parades. I'm going to remember that. Especially, are they throwing candy out, the really cool candy? By golly, those little sweet tarts. I want to be there.
Or Georgia. Let's say you're walking through the Mall of Georgia in Buford, right?
Yep.
And you know, all of a sudden, there's a little concert going on in the center of the mall where a couple hundred people are gathering. Now, you are perfectly free to carry a firearm at any end of the mall until you get to that point where that gathering is. Now you're in trouble.
And the thing is, who the heck would know that?
Well, exactly. But you're supposed to, at that point, my understanding is...
Well, you absolutely should know that. And that's the example. And it just goes back to the Nashua thing.
How you're supposed to conduct yourself if you find yourself inadvertently at that point. And the laws actually spells out the scenarios.
And that's really, really helpful when the states do give you some scenarios. It gives you some guidance to say, you know, what should I do in this scenario? And I'll tell you what.
I'll pick on Georgia, for example.
Yep.
They've got some goofy laws, and they still do, but they did make them better just a few months ago. People who may have been in Georgia a year ago and are planning to go now, the laws are completely different today than they were just 6 months ago. So, yeah.
You want me to give you an example about knowing before you go? And this is a case where I don't know that the person wants to be discussed, so I can discuss it in generalities. I had a client that I represented some years ago, and here's what happened. The client went somewhere out west to his family's for Christmas and was coming back, and this client was very scrupulous. Not scrupulous enough, it turns out, but very scrupulous to check all the state laws and everything. And so the client was going through Ohio. And in the past, the client had not been able to carry his firearm in Ohio, but in this particular case, he read in all the papers, Ohio now recognizes licenses, rah, 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 sis, boom, bah. And the client thought, great, you know, when I'm going through Ohio, I'll be able to carry my firearm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait till I tell you this story. So the client's coming back home, carrying his firearm in Ohio, and gets stopped by the police for speeding, legitimately speeding, okay?
Okay.
And he says, oh, yep, you know, sorry, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, of course I have a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
Out go the bracelets. He says, no. He says, you don't understand. He said, you know, Ohio now has reciprocity. We're, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's the whole thing. And they said, yeah, that starts in another 24 hours.
Oh, shoot.
And here's the whole thing. So when people read things in the paper, we all know that when it says, you know, that the governor passes, you know, signs this bill, Senate and the House has passed a bill, and the governor has signed it. But what you always have to read at the little bottom of the bill is, this bill shall become effective, blah, 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 right?
Yep.
And he didn't realize the papers had been touting this for quite some time, but the effective date. Now, who would have thought, okay? Who would have thought? And the client's like going, you've got to be stinking kidding me. You know, because this client thought they had checked everything out, that they were following the law, you know, that everything was good. And like a lot of people who don't get into the really fine minutia, he read it in the paper. Everything's good now.
I hear you. Well, Penny, let's take a time out here. 1-866-823-1077. If you have a question about interstate transport of a firearm or carrying a firearm across state lines, you can call Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live. 1-866-823-1077 on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages. Live on the Pulse.